Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and I want to talk about blank. No, that's not the right way to say it. Blank people do what blank people do, and blank people do what blank people do. I saw a Instagram short video on this, and the way that it was done was nothing to do about fitness or being a man or anything like that. It was actually about finances. And when you put it in the way that we're going to talk about it today, you, as a grown man, as a growing man, have the option to put things in perspective before you do or don't do something. It's a really, really cool concept. Now, before we get into today's show, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. They have a full line of trapping supplies. They have copper trap tags, snares, lures, baits, stretchers. They make the Sleepy Creek stretchers now. They make the aluminum setters. It's the only ones I've used way before they started making them. Hunting and fishing stuff. Their shipping is spot on, their prices are spot on, and their customer service is at the top of the game. So if you're looking for something like that, make sure you give Funky Trap Tags and Supplies a shot. There's a link below in the show notes. So this video that hit me in such a way, and that's one of the reasons I like looking at certain types of social media, is, I mean, there's a lot of negative with social media. There is a ton of negative. I think it steals time. I think it destroys people because of self-confidence. I think it's a way for people to bully other people. I think it's a way now for governments and agendas to manipulate other people. I'm not saying social media is a great thing, but there are good things within social media. And the neat thing to me is you have people all over the world that are thinking about something, and they have a creative way to say something that maybe is in a little bit different perspective than the way that we've always taken it. So what the video was on was wealthy people and poor people. So we'll start there. Now, I've heard many times people make the comment that if you took everybody's wealth in the country, put it into one pot, just take all the governments, all that crap out of this equation, you had a truly honest person that didn't want to have a cut of anything, and everybody had to give every penny that they had, stock market, in the bank, hidden under the mattress, all the money. Didn't matter if it's in an LLC, it doesn't matter if it's in a corporation, it doesn't matter if it's in your personal bank account. All the money of all the people in the world, and you put it in one pot. And you divided that money equally to every human being, say above age 18 in the world. Do you know what would happen in probably 10 or 15 years? The people that are poor now will be poor then. The people that are wealthy before this happened will be wealthy again. How is that possible? I mean, that goes against all the socialist propaganda and all the communist propaganda and all that. If you make, because you just look at people that win the lottery, right? They're probably, you know, say they're struggling, they're working jobs they really don't like, they're making two family household making $30,000 a piece, they're making $60,000. They got a couple of kids. They win a lottery of $50 million. By the time they get it back home, it's probably going to be about $20 million. That's still a pile of money after taxes. Then you're going to have to deal with everybody in the world trying to figure out how to make you feel guilty and give them what you just won. And everybody in your family is going to want their fair share. And once all that, so let's say after you gave everybody in your family, say you split the $20 million into $10 million, and you gave that to all your family members with the caveat of don't ever talk to me about money again because you're not getting another penny, and I don't care how desperate you think that you are. So you give $10 million away to your close friends and family. You went from $60,000 a year, two family household, to $10 million a year. Now see, to someone that doesn't understand money, doesn't understand finances, doesn't understand how wealthy people stay and become wealthy, the statistics show very clearly most of the people that win the lottery are not wealthy to begin with, because most wealthy people don't play the lottery, which should be a flag to people that are spending a lot of money on it. They end up broke, divorced, suicidal, depressed, and most of the time almost homeless within a few years after winning the money. Now, I know what everybody that's hearing this is saying. I'd like to give it a shot. I get it. I mean, I'm a guy. I'd like to have a 90-foot yacht to run up down the river. I'd like to have a second home somewhere on the coast. I'd like to have, if I could fit my big butt in a Lamborghini, if I physically can fit, I think it'd be kind of cool to go get groceries in. Trust me, I can spend money. I wouldn't have any trouble spending money. You know, Glock's coming out with a new AR-15 platform. I'm thinking 100 or 200 of them may be good things just to put in the safe. I can spend money. But what the video said, which I'm leading you up to, is poor people do what poor people do. And wealthy people do what wealthy people do. If you give them the lottery, they're going to do what they've always done and act and spend like a poor person. Therefore, they will end up poor no matter how much money you give them. I'm sure there's a limit. I mean, if you were to give them $10 trillion, it may be impossible to figure out a way to spend that money. Several million, even 100 million? Oh, yeah. Any redneck in the world can figure out how to spend $100 million. I promise you. But if you were to give $10 million to a wealthy person, he's going to treat that money very differently than a poor person. A poor person is going to spend money on frivolous pursuits in the short term. Wealthy people, people that are successful with their money, find ways for that money to make them more money in the future, makes their future more secure. It could be buying real estate, it could be buying houses, it could be something in the stock market, it could be starting a different company, it could be investing in a company they know, it could be apartments, it could be complexes like real estate for commercial units where you see a city's moving a certain direction and you want to get ahead of it. That's how wealthy people would spend their money. And poor people will not do that. One, they don't know to really do that, and they don't have the desire to do that because they do what poor people do. And wealthy do what wealthy people do. I had a very good friend, which I'm not going to mention names of the two parties. Back in the fur boom, before the big crash in 87, where everybody was catching their $40 coons and their $100 fox, and people were buying brand new trucks with their fur checks and all that stuff. You know, that was a big time to be an outdoorsman, because you were making way more money trapping than you could at about any job that average people have. I had a friend, we'll call him, I don't know, Kemosabe, because I don't know any Kemosabes in real life. I just remember that from childhood with a Lone Ranger. So Kemosabe was a trapper, and he was good friends with, let's say, the Lone Ranger, which was another person. Now, the Lone Ranger bought fur, and they brought in Kemosabe to help them buy fur, and they actually paid him off a percentage. Now, what Kemosabe told me is the way the fur market was at that time, if you left in the morning to pay $25 for raccoons, and you paid an honest $25 for raccoons, by the time you sold those raccoons, they could be worth $40. and they're buying tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of them. So you can see the money that was being generated at that time. Now, Kemosabe thought like a poor person, because I've talked to him about this. And the Long Ranger didn't think like a poor person. Now, Kemosabe, when I asked him what he did with his money, he said, I bought three-wheelers, boats, bigger motor, camouflage, I bought some guns, I bought more traps, I bought just different gear, I bought some electronics, which is what you give a poor person a lot of money, that's what they do, because that's the mindset of a poor person. Now, the Long Ranger, on the other hand, bought farms. One bought three-wheelers that depreciated, one bought farms that appreciated. Means they earned them money with rents, and they also earned money in value. Where Kemosabe, being the poor thinking guy, bought boats, the other one bought apartment complexes. What do you think is the difference between Kemosabe and the Long Ranger? One, pretty much was middle class his whole life. Never really, really, really got ahead of anything financially, which was Kemosabe. The Long Ranger, on the other hand, this other person, changed his life and the life of generations to come off the same amount of money that Kemosabe had. Let that sink in for just a second. Wealthy people do what wealthy people do. Poor people do what poor people do. Now, since this is called Man Strong, successful men do what successful men do, and non-successful men do what non-successful men do. Which one of those camps do you as a man fall into? And depending on your answer, are you being the best man because of that answer? Now, you may be saying, well, I haven't won the lottery. I did not have the fur market back then to be able to take advantage of the way that they did. I work a real job. Okay. What do you do with your money? If someone was to look at your budget, do you pretty much spend your money on depreciation assets only? Majority of working class, that's exactly what they do. If you look at wealthy, successful men, just like the Long Ranger did, they don't spend their money that way. Now, I'm not saying they don't have a fishing boat and a nice truck and, you know, four-wheelers if they're an outdoorsman or whatever. That is not what I'm saying. But what they do is they figure out ways that a business can own that and they can write it off, but they still get use of it. That's not what a poor thinking person does. That's what a wealthy person thinks. So my challenge to you as a man, if that is truly what you're trying to be, is a strong man in the world of non-strong men today. Because if you think this way, your friends are going to make fun of you. There's a good chance your wife's going to be pissed off because she wants to spend a bunch of frivolous money on pocketbook and shoes and diamond rings because they're going to use the word investment. And only a fool would think that a diamond ring is an investment. Only a fool would think that expensive shoes and purses and clothes are an investment, because when you go to sell them, you get the same amount of money as somebody at a yard sale. The big diamond ring is worth about 20% of what it was when you go to sell it. If that's an investment, that's a sucky investment. That is marketing from companies that poor people believe. See, wealthy men don't believe that crap. Because if it was an investment after 30 years of having a diamond ring that you're supposed to give 2.5 months, which came up from a marketing department of a diamond company, and women believed it and they tried to force their men to do it, after 30 years, a $10,000 ring should be worth more than $10,000. It actually should be worth, if it was going to, you know, grow because it was an investment of, say, 10%, it should be worth $30,000 after 30 years. But it's not, because it's not an investment. Poor people believe marketing, like a diamond ring, is an investment. Rich people believe raw sapphires are an investment, because they are. Rich people believe in land and buildings and rents. And poor people spend their money on things so they can't afford to even try to get in that game. For the most part. I want to break this down in a couple of different ways for us men to think about. People or men with successful marriages do what men in successful marriages do. Men in bad marriages do what men in bad marriages do. You know, like, you can't control what's in your pants. You're looking for that opportunity. You don't treat your wife with very much respect, so therefore she doesn't treat you with very much respect. You belittle her, she belittles you. You talk bad about your wife to your friends, and she talks bad about you to her friends. You don't show her appreciation, she doesn't show you appreciation. Everybody's always wondering why marriages are the way they are, but that's like the average marriage today in America. Successful men in marriages are the complete opposite of that. You don't talk bad about your wife to your friends. You don't belittle your wife to your friends. You don't say hurtful things like you're a teenager to your wife, because she's your partner. You don't put yourself in situations where there's a chance that zipper can come undone and it's going to cause a lot of havoc in your marriage. You respect your wife. You secure your wife. You figure out ways to find financial security for your wife. And you protect your wife. Not because she's weak, but because she's really, really valuable to you. That's why you protect her. Not because she's the weaker sex, which she is, but because she's valuable. See, the mindset between the marriage is very different the way that most people go about it, because it's usually either or when it comes to this. It's not really a mixture of the two. Now, the challenge is to think of everything that you're doing in this manner. What do successful dads do? What do unsuccessful dads do? Is it just bringing in more money for maids and daycare? Or is it spending time with your sons and your daughters? Is it outsourcing your parenting to the liberals at government non-educational schools? Or is that something you do yourself? Do you teach your kids how to be entrepreneurial? Or do you tell them to go get a job that they're going to suck at and hopefully they're alive by the time they retire so they can get a couple of vacations and a gold watch? Do you teach them to respect their partners Or do you show them through their actions that that's not how it works? Do you let them struggle instead of being a helicopter parent? Do you find ways to give little rituals to your boys so they have to struggle and be very uncomfortable to prove to them that they can be a man when things are uncomfortable? Good dads do what good dads do. Shitty dads do what shitty dads do. That's not an easy thing for a lot of people to hear. Good businesses do what good businesses do. Shady businesses do what shady businesses do. So when you're making a decision, say you're going to start a business, before you do your marketing, before you worry about your product or your what your quote, you know, little business plan is going to be about customer service, is it the quickest way that you can try to scam people out of money? Are you looking at a generational business that your kids would want to be part of? Because one is going to act very different from the other. One is going to have policies very different from the other. I can't think of hardly anything in life you can't put in this equation. What do the good do and what do the bad do? Now see, what I'm also getting ready to say, because I know who a majority of my audience is and I get to lay eyes on you a couple of times a year, this is going to be very hurtful to some of you. But as a card-carrying fat ass for most of my adult life, I feel like I've earned the right to say what I'm getting ready to say. Because I've been there for a couple of decades. 340 pounds. Humongous, jiggly belly. Man boobs. Fat people do what fat people do, and healthy people do what healthy people do. Every time you go to put something in your face, you should ask yourself, is this what fat people do? Well, you're like worried you're going to miss the crumb out of the bottom of a Doritos bag, so you open it all the way up and stick your tongue in there? Eat ice cream every single night? And you're already overweight? Live off of fast food, seed oils, sugar, bread, very little real food? Have no self-control at all with your diet. Have no self-control with alcohol when you're overweight. And this is coming from somebody that, dude, I'm not sure life is worth living without good scotch. But I know I've got to curtail my wanting of drinking it whenever I want to, because I'll be back up to 340 pounds. I've got to have some discipline. But fat people don't worry about how much they drink. They try to turn it into something that's positive. Look at the world today. You know, your doctor can get in trouble if they weigh you. So if you're a 340 pound man like I was for a couple of decades, the doctor now, because of retribution from all the fat is fabulous people, and that's fat shaming and all that other nonsense, a doctor, which is supposedly there to help you with health, is afraid to even get you to get on a scale to say that you're possibly obese. And we need to work on this, because you're going to die really young if you stay obese. Doctors can't even do that now in our society. And what do healthy people do? And I'm going to break this down into two categories because I want there to be a semblance of reality to this. I'm not talking about the sickening looking, overly anxiety ridden vegans that just want to eat nothing but salads and tofu and all that stuff all the time. I'm not talking about the people that are scared to eat a piece of cake at a kid's birthday party because they think they're going to just fall apart because they eat a piece of cake. That's not what I consider healthy. That's obsessive. But what do healthy people do? Holy crap, my pants are getting tight. I better back this down for a little while. Don't go buy new clothes. Fix the problem. That's how a man should look at a problem. Fix the problem. You know, one of my treats, if you want to call it that I could eat probably 5 days a week are grilled hot dogs on soft white buns with mayonnaise, cheese, and some pepper. I can go through that like I was one of them people you see on the hot dog eating competitions. I love grilled hot dogs, good beef grilled hot dogs, love them. I curtail that to a couple of times a month. And to try to make a better decision, I actually get real beef hot dogs, not Oscar Mayer's, because that don't even look like beef. But I get them from a shop that my brother picks up in Atlanta. They come in a case. They're quarter pound hot dogs. There's no nitrates. There's no fillers. There's none of that processed crap. It's ground beef with seasoning in it in an intestine wrapped hot dog. And they are amazing. Still don't think I could eat them 5 days a week and not be 340 pounds. Healthy people, from what I can tell, live in a world of moderation. I know people that if they really go to a place that they love the dessert, they will eat the dessert and maybe get an appetizer. What they don't do is get an appetizer, a great big old meal, then scarf down dessert with two or three drinks or four or five beers, and then go home in a comatose state. That's not what they do. They have some discipline. They have some self-restraint, which I think is almost becoming illegal in America today. Like Jocko says, discipline will set you free. It's freedom. So throughout your day as a dad, are you doing what fat people do or are you doing what healthy people do? And if you have kids, I think this is twice as important. Because whatever you do, your kids are watching you, I promise. If you can't control your alcohol, you're teaching them that it's okay not to control their alcohol. That's harsh to hear, but tell me where I'm wrong. If you live off of junk food and make fun of eating the whole box of Little Debbie's every day or a pint of ice cream from Ben and Jerry's or whatever it is that you're doing, you're teaching those kids that's okay. And how are you going to look them in the eye and go, come on, son, you're going to have a rough time in school being a porky little guy because girls aren't exactly going to be attracted to you and a lot of the other guys are going to make fun of you. If you're a card-carrying fat ass yourself, how are you going to do that? On the other hand, if you eat high-density, nutritious food, your kids are going to see that that's important. If you lose a bunch of weight and you keep it off, they're going to be proud when you show up somewhere instead of going, yeah, that's my dad over there, the really big one. If you have children, what you do as a man is very important. See, my stepdad, when I was growing up, you know what we did every night? We had ice cream, some type of sugary cereal, or some types of homemade cookies or cake or something like that every night before we went to bed. I thought that was normal. I was a chunky kid. Can you imagine why? Of course, this was back in the fat-free craze of America, where everything you had was loaded with sugar so it could say fat-free. So we thought we could just eat boxes of fat-free, heavy sugar everything. And that's when obesity in this country started going through the roof. And that's with an athletic teenager metabolism. We talk about fitness on here because I think it's important. I don't think that you can be clear in your head and be just a disaster in fitness. I don't think you can go out and conquer the world and not be somewhat fit in your life. I don't think that those two are going to be in the same place or body or the system that you're trying to figure out. I don't think it's possible. I really don't. Now, I know some people can go, I know some fat people that are successful. Are they really successful? They're going to be dead at 55. How successful is that? They got fat kids running around where they're always feeling bad because the girls don't pay any attention to them whatsoever because they got bigger boobs than the girls do. They start feeling very insecure because they want a girl. They're a guy. They got hormones. And the girls don't pay any attention to them. And they get to listen to all the other kids that aren't fat call them fat boy. Ask me how I know. But we talk about fitness. We talk about being strong, competent, able men on Man Strong. I think it's super important. The better in shape you are, the better you're going to be at business. No question to me whatsoever. I think you're going to be mentally stronger or you're not going to be in shape. Because when you go, there's a guy in the weightlifting community that's always in controversy whether he's natural or on steroids. His name is Red O'Hearn. I don't know if he is or isn't. I know he's been training since he's been 14 years old. He's like 48 now. Dude's jacked. Dude is extremely strong. Unlike people on steroids that get really big and really small and really big and really small, he's pretty much just got bigger over 30 years. So either he's never came off of steroids, which I can't imagine him still being around at the age of 48 doing that. He probably is mostly, if not completely, natty, natural. But when he talks about going in the gym, I think what a lot of men that don't understand the gym and they don't understand strength training or they don't understand running or they don't understand forms of exercise is how important the fight is. Because what fights do you have as a man today? You go to jail for any of them. What are you conquering as a man today? Most men today don't conquer anything. And they feel less than. I think that's a lot of the reason that men commit more suicides than women. I think that's why there's a lot more men in prison than women. a lot of men check out of society. You give that same man something to conquer and watch how he changes in his personality. Because that's what men do. They conquer. Some people can use that in the form of business. Some people use that in fitness and our business. They can use it in a lot of different ways. But the fitter you are, you look at the world different because you know you're not weak, slow, uncoordinated, and you can't do anything if you have to. Because if you are that way, you have to act that way no matter how much bluster and cussing and screaming you can do at somebody because you know you got the police on your side. You know you're at the very bottom of the actual natural man hierarchy. You know it. Down deep, men know that. Strong people do what strong people do, and weak people do what weak people do. Now, what do most weak people do? They make fun of strong people. You want to know why? Because they're not strong. I don't know a man out there that gets up every morning and goes, man, you know what? I wish I was weaker today. I wish I was slower today. I was less competent as a human being to defend my family today. You ever thought that? Doubt it. I seriously doubt it. And if you watch someone that starts training and they stay with it for a couple of years, it's a totally different person after a couple of years. And you want to know why? It's the fight. Just like Red O'Hearn talks about. Not Red O'Hearn. I'm thinking the trapper. But Mike O'Hearn. I've got that all backwards. Mike O'Hearn. It's the fight. You go to the gym when you don't want to. It builds character. You lift weights when you don't really want to. It builds character. It builds discipline. It builds self-respect. Going and sitting in a cubicle? No. Not the same. Sitting on the couch watching Netflix, eating junk food, not the same. Because that's easy. Going to the gym when you don't feel like it, it's not easy. I personally like to work out. I do not like working out every day. I do. I don't like walking every day. I do. I don't give myself an option. Unless I've trashed myself or I'm out of town and I can't find somewhere to go, I'm working out. You want to know why? Because I know it makes me a better man. Because I need that fight. I need that struggle. I'm not fighting depression and anxiety because I'm conquering something. Strong people do, or strong men do, what strong men do. In shape men do what in shape men do. Healthy men do what healthy men do. The complete opposite is on the other side. The weaker will figure out excuses. They'll say they don't have time. They'll say that they don't have the money. They'll say whatever. All of that is an excuse. Every bit of that's an excuse. You can get up earlier, you can go to bed later, you can watch less TV. The real people that have to work 20 hours a day, that most people brag about, is a very small percentage of Americans. Most Americans waste more time in a day than they actually work. You've got time. And could you imagine if you actually did get in shape and you were physically intimidating in your look, and your son sees you with a bunch of other people coming towards him? It's going to be radically different in how he and everybody else views you than if you're just completely overweight, saggy, and jiggly. You can go, I don't care. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because you know in the hierarchy of men, when you take away all of the society and the civilization and the brainwashing and all that crap, when you get down to your lizard brain, you know. People that are in shape just get more respect from other men. You can watch that in your everyday life. I've never heard anybody go, well, that's an average looking dude. That's cool. Holy cow, he looks like he could lift a house. You know what criminals think? I ain't messing with him. You know what women think? That makes me feel very safe. Kind of what men need to be. So no matter what it is you're doing, guys, look at things through this perspective. Is it what a successful person does or what a non-successful person does? There's not a lot of blurred lines there. And down deep, I think you know that. If you're not disciplined, maybe you need to look at things through discipline. Is this what a disciplined person does, or is this what a non-disciplined person does? You want to see non-discipline? Look at our government. You want to see non-discipline? Look at Black Lives Matter and Antifa. You don't want that to be you. You want to be the rock of your family. Whether that's discipline, your health, your finances, your capabilities. You want to do what successful people do in those areas. Is it going to be easy? No. It's not supposed to be. If it were, we wouldn't be awashed in little beta soy boys, little simps running around everywhere. If it was easy, all guys would do it. But all guys aren't men. And if you're listening to the show, I have a feeling that's at least what your goal is. So think about what you're doing and on which side of that equation that you're on.